Today's Shir the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Chaf Hei. We're learning today Lilui Nishmas Moses Zelig, Moshe ben Yisrael Asher Zelig. All the Neshamos we learn for Shana Aliyah. We begin at the two dots, about 8-10 lines down from the top. Tomorrow begins by quoting a Brisa. Tanur Rabbanan, Shivrei Tanur Yoshan. If you have broken pieces of an old oven, means an old oven, Rashi says, Shekvar Husak, it was already previously heated up, the Charosov Koshim, and therefore the component parts of this oven have already been hardened, they've been strengthened by the heat, the Chozul Mlocha, and even the broken pieces are therefore usable still as potential covers of pots or other ways, and therefore these broken pieces are considered Kalim. So the Braisa tells us, Harehen Kain Kikol HaKalim, Hanitolim B'chotzer. They're like any other utensil that's in a chotzer. It's allowed to be carried. They're not muktzah. There is no problem. We've had the shita previously, and this here is the opinion, Divri Rabbi Meir. This is the opinion of Meir that says that these are perfectly good Kalim, and therefore there is no muktzah status to them. Now, Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Einitolim. They're not allowed to go and be used because they're considered muktzah. They're Shivrei Kalim. Well, we'll explain in a moment what exactly is the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir is really within the shita of Rabbi Shimon that we've had previously as well. And finally, the Braisa concludes. It says, Heyid Rav Yossi Mishum Rav Elezer ben Yaakov. Rav Yossi testified in the name of Rav Elezer ben Yaakov that Rav Elezer ben Yaakov's shita was Al Shivri Tanur Yoshud. This in regards to this old tanur that had the broken pieces from it. Shnei Tolim B'Shabbos, that they're considered utensils and you're allowed to move them on Shabbos. They're not muktzah. And likewise, he added, Al Kisuyo, on the covers over here, the lids of such an oven, she'eino tzarech beis yad. They don't need a handle in order to make them into a keli. Rashi explains, sholtaner she'eino tzarech beis yad. These covers of these tanners do not need to have a handle on them. The belav beis achize, even without a handle on them, they're considered kelim and metalton lay, and you're allowed to move them. Now, this is a machlokes, we'll see that there is another opinion later on that tells us that, no, it's not considered a utensil unless it has a base achiz, unless there's some sort of handle on it. That's the brisa. Now, Gemara says exactly what are Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda arguing about. What's the machlokes? Amar Abaye says, Ba'osin me'ein melacha, ve'ein osin me'ein melachton komiflegi. They're arguing over here as to whether you need them to do the original work that they were doing, or is it adequate that they're still called a keli, even if they can't do the original work that they were doing, but they can do some sort of work, and therefore they retain the status of a keli. So, the Azdar of Yehuda L'taymei, and Yehuda holds according to his shita that we previously discussed, and that is that the keli must go and be able to be used in the exact same way that it was used before. For example, la'afos, it must be used to bake. And now it can't be used to bake. It could be used as a cover, but that's not considered adequate. And Rav Meir L'tamei, and Rav Meir goes and says, no, as long as it has some sort of a function, even if it's l'chasos ben pichavis, it's not baking, but it's able to be used as a pot to cover, so then that is fine. Now, that's what Abaye said is the machlokes over here between Meir and Yehuda. Maskel or Rava doesn't like this. Rava says, wait a second, Nihachi, so then why did you have to give me the case of the Tanur Yoshon? Adamiflegei b'shivrei Tanur, why did you have to tell me the case over here with the broken pieces of the Tanur? Liflegei b'shivrei Kel Biyama. Why was it special to say over here in the Brisa that there was Badafka talking about a Tanur that had been broken? This same machlokas could have been any utensil. That was a chair. And can you still sit on the chair, or can you use the chair to go and support something? Whatever it may be, that the chair still has a status of being a kli. So why did you, Bedavka, according to Rava, have to give us the case in the Brisa about Shivrei Tanur? So therefore he says, your argument, Abaye, is flawed. And he says, therefore, El Omar Rava, Rava says, this is the understanding of the Machlokas of Yehuda through Rameya and Rav Yehuda. Bishivrei Dahai Tanur Kumiflegei. They're arguing about a specific Tanur. Rashi says, Ha'asui Ke'en Zeh Shoshani B'mishnazu Shani Maybe Lochda. The one I'm about to tell you right now, Shaloniskan Kol Tzorcho Mitchiloso. We're talking about the Tanur wasn't fully finished beforehand, and now it broke. That's what they're arguing about. This specific Tanur, Dahai Tanur Kumiflegei, did not. Which tanur are we talking about? This is a Mishnah in Kalim. which says that the Tanu was placed, the Sano, their Tanurim, Rashi tells us, were different than our Tanurim. Rashi, look in the Dibur Maslo, Nosno Piabar, Tanurim Shalohem, their ovens, Asuyim Kikideros, Gidolos, are like big pots that didn't have a bottom. The Elam Shulaim, so they were just hollow cylinders that didn't have a bottom. Moshivo Lo'aretz, and they put it on the ground. Umadvik Tit Svivosov, and then they would put cement, like this tit, this mud, this clay around it to seal it in. Lasoso all to make it thicker. Shiachzik Chomo, and this way it would retain the heat much better. Vihi Kruya Tfela, and this mud or tit, clay that's put around it is called Tfela. Vihi Magas Laritz, and it normally would go all the way to the ground, to be on top of the ground. Umitochkach Hevel Shlo Kayim, and as a result, since it's sealed in by the ground in this clay, so the heat would stay inside much better. The Ibn Sonu Api Abar, sometimes we put it into a pit, so the pit was basically serving to seal in the heat. Or Al Piador, so they put it in a cistern over here is like a pit, but it's built up. This is like has a wall to it above the ground. The pit is below the ground. But they're essentially the same thing, that they have the retaining heat inside this pit because the tanner is wedged into it tightly. She came bar. So the cistern, this dus, is like a bar, except it's raised up above the ground, but it's functioning the same way. El Shabor b'chafira, the bar is dug into the ground. Vadus, the cistern, is bebinyan. It's built up. It's like a well that's built up. The Nosan Shon Evan Beno Levain Dofen Habor, and they would wedge in this cylindrical oven, they would wedge it into the bar or the dus with some sort of a rock to keep it, you know, tightly fitted over there, the docha coat to tightly fit it, and shaloyipo, that it shouldn't fall to the ground. The Omid Bavir, so it's like it's standing in midair. That's what we're talking about over here. This is this special oven that the Mishnah in Kalim is telling us. And it says, Nistano al pi habar al pi hados, you've placed this cylindrical oven on top of the dus or into this bar, v'nasan shem evan, and you wedge it in with a stone, as I said, to keep it tightly in place. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir argue about. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, in masik milamata, if you can light the fire from the bottom, the bottom of the pit, you have the fire, v'nisuk lamala, and then the heat will go all the way up to the top. So therefore, when you place something in this oven, it will be heated from the inside. So Tommy, then this is considered an effective kli, and therefore, it's capable of being makabel tuma. V'imlav, but if it doesn't work in this fashion, it's not wedged in tightly, and the heat, so to say, is not going to be properly done, so then it's not considered an oven, it's not considered a kli. Therefore, it's tar. And it's not capable of makabel tuma. The chachamim say no. Hol v'husak mikol makom. Since the heat can somehow be in there, it may not be perfect, but it can function somewhat as an oven. So therefore, it is considered a kli. It's makabel tuma. Now, but Michael Miflugi, exactly what are they arguing about over here? We don't have people just making up opinions. There has to be an underlying fundamental difference in order to have a machlokis. So they're arguing about a pasuk in Parsha Shmini, Bahaikra, it says in Parsha Shmini, Tanur v'chirayim yutatz. If you have a tanur or chirayim, different types of ovens, a one stove oven or a two stove oven, two burners, so to say. So these types of ovens, if they become tameh, the only way you can make them tar is by breaking them. There is no tzvila, there is no hagolo, libun. You just have to break them. Earthenware ovens, Tanur v'chirayim yutatz. The only way they become tar, if they became tame, is to go and break them, yutatz. Tmeim heim, and they're going to be tame, and utmeim yuluchem, and they're going to stay tame unless you break them. That's the pasuk in Shmini. Now, how do they darshan it? Rav Yehuda says that mechusar netitza tame. If something is missing being broken, in other words, it's not broken, so then it retains its tumah status. If it became tame, the sheretz came inside of it, so it becomes tame. Mechusa netitza, as long as it hasn't been broken, when it's functioning as an oven, it's attached to the ground, so it's tame. She'ein mechusa netitza, but if it's not missing being broken, then it's considered tar. What exactly does this mean? Basically, Rabbi Yehuda is saying that it must be attached to the ground in order for it to be capable of being broken. Otherwise, it's not considered being capable of being broken, because otherwise it would use the lashon of shavur. Instead, it uses the lashon of yutatz, right? Klicheres, we say, in order for a klicheres to become tar, it has to be yishover, it has to be broken. but we use the lashon of yutats when it's attached to the ground. So according to Rav Yehuda, when it's attached to the ground, it's capable of having netitza. So then, if it's attached to the ground, it becomes tummy. It is tummy until you do yutats. But if it's not attached to the ground, then it's not capable of yutats, and therefore it's tar. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rabban and Sabri, Rabban say, no. We focus not on the words yutats. We'll have to explain what they do with the word yutats, but they say the key words are tmei miulochem. Tmei miulochem means mikol makom, whether it's attached to the ground or not, it can still be considered tmei miulochem. So what does each one do with the other one's words? So the chachamim, so they focus, if you wish, on the opinion that it has to be tummy no matter what. So what do they do with yutats? Rabbanan nami, haksiv yutats. What do they do with the word yutats? So the Gemara says, ha'uli'iduch gisa. They need that for the following drasha. The sulkadai dechaminich, I might have said, if you didn't have the word yutats, I would have said, kivan dechabri be'ara, if it's attached to the ground, it's wedged in so tightly over there in the ground, so kigufo de'ara dami, then it's considered like the ground. And something in the ground is not capable of accepting tumma. A house doesn't accept tumma. So you can be in the house and become tame because of the oil of the house, but the house itself doesn't become tame. When you have a mace in the house doesn't become tame. Everything in the house becomes tame, but the house is tar. As soon as you move the mace out, the house is tar again. It never was tame. So the Gemara says, you might have thought that if you didn't have the words over here, if you just had tmei yulochem, that this type of a thing that's wedged into the ground would not be able to become tame. So komash balon. No, this is able to become tame. That's what you need the word yutats for. So that's what the Rabbanan have, tmei miulochem, and yutats to teach us. Nu, the idoch nami, what does Rav Yehuda do? He has the word yutats, but what is the words tmei miulochem? Hoksiv tmei miulochem, what does Rav Yehuda dashim for those words? So the Gemara says, hahi, kidi Rav Yehuda amr Shmuel. That is needed for the drasha that Rav Yehuda amr Shmuel said. What did Rav Yehuda amr Shmuel say? Damar Yehuda amr Shmuel, machlokis behesek rishon, that they're arguing over here. The opinion of Yehuda and the Chacham are only arguing if you haven't heated up the oven yet. So therefore, it's not fully strengthened and hardened. So that's when they're having the machlokas. Does it need to be attached to the ground or not? But Avul Behesek Sheni, once it's been heated up and it's hardened, it's been mischazek, so then Afilu Toli B'Tzavar Gamal, then it doesn't have to be utouchable. It doesn't have to be in the ground. Then it can even be B'Tzavar Gamal. It could be even hanging from the neck of a camel, and you somehow you use the oven hanging from the neck of the camel. It's certainly not embedded in the ground. That would also be good. And that's what you need, Tmei Miulochem, to teach us once it's already been attached to the ground and fired up. So then even if you detach it, then it still can become tummy. Now, Omar Ula, the Hesek Rishon the Rabbanon, this Hesek Rishon according to Rabbanon, Afilu Toli B'Tzavar Gomor, he disagrees and he says that this Hesek Rishon doesn't have to be in the ground. Even the Hesek Rishon doesn't have to be in the ground according to Chachamim. As long as you did the Hesek Rishon, even if it was never wedged into the ground, it's Tmei Miulochem. Bottom line is, you have the opinion of Yehuda. If it wasn't wedged into the ground and had the Hesek Rishon, so then it's not Makabel Tumah. And according to the Chachamim, no. Anyhow, any way that it got the Hesek Rishon, that makes it Mokshel Makabel Tumah. Now, what does this have to do with our discussion? Rav says that's exactly the Machlokas that we're dealing here between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. We're talking here about the Hesek Rishon, as we said. The Haytaner that we're talking about was dealing with Hesek Rishon. According to Rav Yehuda, it's not yet considered a utensil if you didn't have the Hesek Rishon while it's in the ground. And therefore, the Shivrei Kalim are also not going to be considered Kalim. And therefore, they are Muktzah. They're not Kalim. And on the other hand, Rav Meir holds like the Chachamim, who says that as long as you did a Hesek Rishon, even if it wasn't in the ground, so then that makes it into a utensil. And therefore, the Shivrei Kalim are also a utensil. That's how Rava understands the Machlokas. But Ravashi doesn't like this. Maskev Ravashi. Ravashi says, Ihochi, if what you're saying is correct, so instead of arguing about the Mivli Yibishivri Taner, instead of arguing about the broken piece of the oven, instead of arguing about that, argue about the oven itself. Litlo B'Tana Gufa. Hashta Tana Gufa Rav Yehuda Lo Habimona. If the Taner itself, according to Rav Yehuda, is not considered a Kli, and is Moksa, so certainly, Allah Chaskan V'Kama, Shvar Miboy, would you have to tell me that the Shivri Kalim are not considered a kli? So Rav Ashi doesn't like Rava's teretz. So therefore, Elohim Rav Ashi gives the teretz as follows. Lolom kidamar mekor. It was actually like we said at the beginning. Can it be used according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, for its original baking purposes, and then it retains the status of being a kli. If it can't be used for the original baking purpose, even though it can be used for another purpose, it's not a kli. And Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir says as long as it can be used for any purpose, it is able to be called a kli. So then what are the... If we had the problem with that, so then why did it have to tell me a taner? So ba'osa ma'ase tafka, and we're saying specifically over here, can these broken pieces of the oven be used as a tafka? Tafka, Rashi tells us, is ra'ofim. These are like tiles that you can heat on them. You basically put a fire underneath them, and then the tile heats up, and then you put something on top of the tile, and it could bake or cook something. So that's what they're arguing about. Ba'osa ma'ase tafka. The Rabbi Meir, the Dvar of the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir is saying, my opinion over here is even according to you, Rabbi Yehuda. Of course, for myself, I say that it's a kli, but that's because I say even a kli that does another malacha is still a kli. If a utensil does even something else, even if it's not me'ain malacha or rishona, it's still considered a kli. But according to you, Rabbi Yehuda, who says that it must do like the original malacha, so how come you don't say that these shivrei kelim are able to do like the original malacha, like baking? Rabbi Meir, the Dvar of the Yehuda Kamar, he's saying, Lididi, according to me, I feel about me'ain malacha, even if they do any malacha, they're doing anything else, they're perfectly good, even though it's nothing to do with baking. But as long as they're usable for some other purpose, so they're a kli, they're not mukta. Eladidach, according to you, that says it has to be like the original malacha. So the original malacha of the tanner was that it was baking in it. So now these shards of pottery that broke from the shards of the oven, the earthenware oven that broke, that's not pottery, it's the shards of the oven. So these pieces of the oven can be used as ra'othim, as these tiles, as this tafka. So at least admit to me, Odi li, mia debechi haigadna, malachtahu. They are able to be baked because you can use them as baking tiles. So you should be molded to me, Rav Yehuda, that they are in fact not muksa because they still can be used as baking tiles, tafka re'ofim, and therefore it's ke'ein malacha rishona. So therefore be molded to me that these shivrei taner are in fact kelim and aren't muksa. What does Rav Yehuda answer to that? Rav Yehuda says, no, lo dami. It's different. How were they baked is the critical factor. While it was a tanner, so the fire was inside the tanner, as we pointed out. But now, when it's ra'ofim, when it's this tafka, you don't put the fire on top of the tiles, the fire would be below the tiles, you put the tiles on top of the fire, and the fire is, so to say, from the outside, and therefore it's not considered kein malachto from the inside of the tanner like it was originally. And this is enough of a difference to say that this is not kein malachto narishona, and therefore, review this as even in this situation when it's still used for baking, but it's a different type of baking, and therefore it is not considered a kli at this point. And there are really two differences over here. Number one, hasa ma'umat, that in the first situation, when the oven was a fully intact oven, it wasn't broken yet, so you would put the dough in, you'd slab it onto the walls. Remember we said that they would bake, they wouldn't have it on a griddle inside, they would just slab it on the dough onto the walls, and it would bake in that fashion. So when it's attached to the walls like that, the dough is standing in a vertical position. And here, when you're putting it in, hacha lav me'umat. Here you're putting it in, it's going to be in a horizontal position, you're putting it flat on the tiles, because the tiles themselves are flat, and therefore that is another difference. So you have a double difference over here where the heat is coming from and the way the dough is, in fact, stationed. So for these two reasons, Rabbi Yehuda says this is different enough that it's not considered me'ein melachton harishona, and therefore it's a different melacha, and according to Rabbi Yehuda, if it does a different melacha, that's not considered a kli. Finally, we get to the last part of the brayso that we brought down. Hey, Rabbi Yossi, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar, and Yaakov. That he said, Al shivrei taner yoshon, shenitol b'Shabbos. You're allowed to move them on Shabbos. They are considered a keli, they're not muksa. And he said as well, Al kisuyiv she'enu tzorach b'Yisad. And he said, the cover of this taner, it doesn't need a handle in order for it to be considered a kli, and it can be moved even if it doesn't have a handle. Ravina, kiman metal talinon ha'idna kisuy de tanure de masa b'chasya. According to whose opinion are we allowed to move the covers of the ovens of the of Masa Machasa? Masa Machasa was a certain fancy place, and people had these covers to their oven, and they moved them. So who are they holding like? The Einlam Beis Achiza. They didn't have a handle. So who says that you can hold it? So that is the opinion. Come on, that's the opinion. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, or opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, is the opinion that in Masa Machasa they relied upon to move the covers of their oven. Now we go to the next Mishnah. If you have a stone that they would put inside, Rashi says, a dalas yuvesha chalula. They would hollow out some sort of a gourd. These gourds would basically be used as pails or buckets to fill up things from the well. So they would take a hollowed out, let's say like a watermelon or some sort of a melon. They would take some sort of a gourd and they would take out the fruit from the inside and be left with a hollowed out container. And they would use that as the bucket to fill up from the well. But this is going to float on the water. And therefore, in this situation, mitokshi kalara, she says it's very light, it's going to float. Ain't no shuevis, it's not going to sink into the well and come up with water in it. So elitzofa would float on the water. Therefore, the nosin ba'evin lachal bida. So they would place into it a heavy stone that would weigh it down, and then it would fill up with water, and then they'd pull it up with the rope or whatever, however they attached it to this kira, to this gourd, and this is how they would use it as a bucket to go and fill up the water. So now you have a stone inside over here. The stone is normally muktzah. So the Mishnah tells us, ha'evin shebekiruya, if you have a stone inside this gourd, so im malin ba v'inonofelis, if it in fact functions well, the gourd is attached somehow, the stone is attached to this gourd, and it fills up with the water because the stone weighs it down, and then you can pull it back up. So then it's not considered muktzah, mamalin ba. You're allowed to go and use this on Shabbos. It's not considered a problem. However, v'im lav ein mamalin ba, but if it's not attached in some way, in the Shaar HaTzion, in Shulchan Aruch, he says that it could be attached on the inside or the outside. It doesn't make a difference where it's attached, as long as it's attached so it doesn't fall out, so then it's considered a kli. But if it is going to fall out, then then it's muktzah, and you're not allowed to go and use this bucket structure. The whole thing is muktzah because the stone was put into it and it's not attached, so the stone makes it into a basis l'davarasa. The stone is muktzah. If the stone's not functional because it's not attached, so then the entire thing, not only the stone, but even this gourd, is going to become muktzah because it becomes a basis l'davarasa. Turn to the other bays, we continue with the Mishnah. It tells us a similar idea. If you have a zamora, if you have a vine, Rashi says shogefen, you have a grapes vine. So that is tied, shikshura b'tofiach. It's tied to a tofiach. Rashi says, pach sheshovim bo min habor, o min amayin. Again, some sort of a jug or a bucket that you're going to go and stick into the well to fill it up with water. So you attach it to this vine, mamalim bo b'shabbos. So then this becomes a kli. But you're tying it over here, your Rashi says, "Dishavya kli lahach zemora." You've made this vine, which otherwise would be muktzah, you've made it into a kli. You're allowed to do this again, as long as it's attached to this jug, to this pach. So then it is good. This tofiach. Then the Mishnah concludes with a third case, pekak hachalon. If you have some sort of a window shutter, pekak in modern Hebrew is like a traffic jam. It's shut off. It's not moving. So this pekak, it shutters the chalon. So if this is attached in a certain way, then it's not a problem of building on Shabbos. Otherwise, it's a potential problem of building on Shabbos. So Rav Lezer is the Mumach B'shit. He says, Bismanshu Koshur, as long as this shutter is attached with a string, the tali, and it's hanging in the air, so people see that it is part of the structure already. So then, if it's attached with this rope, with this string, and it's not lying on the ground, but it's suspended in the air, so then, pokinbo, then you're allowed to go and use this on Shabbos. It's not considered binyan on Shabbos. However, according to Rabbi Lezer, v'im lav, if it's lying on the ground, so then it looks like you're just taking it from scratch, and you're adding it to the window, that looks like binyan, and you're not allowed to do this. V'im lav, ain't pokinbo. You're not allowed to go and close up the window with this pekak, if it was lying on the ground, even though it's attached with a string, but it wasn't hanging in the air, it looks like you just picked it up and are building it. No, benkach u benkach, pokikimbo. No matter how it's attached, you're allowed to go and use it. It's not considered binyan on Shabbos. The Gemara will explain exactly what it means, benkach u benkach. Gemara starts off and says, Tanan Hossam, we learned in a Mishnah. This Mishnah we're going to learn later in the Masechta on Daf Kuf Mem Beis. So it tells us over there, Evan Shapi Achovis, if you have a stone, a rock, it's muktzah, but it's on top of a barrel, so it's covering up the top of the barrel on the barrel cover. So mata al tzida, you want to get it off because it's muktzah. So you're not allowed to move it with your hands, but you want to get it off so you get the wine inside the barrel. So mata al tzida, you're allowed to go and tilt the barrel on its side, but you know, fellas, and the rock will fall off. This is called tiltum min atzad, and it's perfectly permissible. But if there are other barrels nearby, that if the stone is going to fall off this barrel, it's going to break other barrels. So Rashi explains, the mutu l'talta l'chavis v'evin olel, you'd be allowed to go and pick up the barrel with the stone on top of it, move it to a place where when you now tilt the barrel and the stone falls off, it won't break any other barrels. So that is the Mishnah. So it says, Evan Shapia Chavis, Mata Al Tzidav Hinofels. You're allowed to do this and turn it to the side. Now we have two different opinions over here. Amar Rabba, Ami, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabba said in the name of Ami, in the name of Yochanan. Lo Shonam B'Shocheach. You're only allowed to do this if you forgot. Before Shabbos, you forgot that you had the rock on this barrel. You put it there on Thursday, and then you forgot about it. And now it's Shabbos. So if you forgot the rock over there, then you're allowed to do this tiltal to go and remove the rock from the barrel. Either pick up the barrel and move it, as Rashi says, to another place. And you're going to have then the tilting so the rock doesn't break any other barrels. Avo b'miniach, if you place it there intentionally, but then you forgot about it, but you put it there intentionally that you wanted this rock on this barrel, so then Nasa Basis or Dover Osir, since you put it over there, this rock has the status of being a Dover Osir. The barrel now becomes a base, a Basis, a Dover Osir, and the whole thing is Muktzah, so, and you're not letting go. Pick up this barrel and move it someplace else. That's the opinion of Rabba, who said the name of Rami or Yochanan. But Rav Yosef disagrees. Rav Yosef says the exact opposite. Rav Yosef said in the name of Rav Asi or Rav Yochanan. Both said the name of Rav Yochanan. Rabbi said the name of Rav Ami, and Rav Yosef said the name of Rav Asi. And he said, Lo Shonu El Shochech. No, this whole machlokes is where you forgot that you had put it over there. You didn't know that you'd put it over there. Al Baminiach, if you intentionally put it over there, then the rock is serving a function for you as the cover of this barrel. It's part of the cover of the barrel. Nasa kisul lechavis, and therefore you would be allowed to go and pick this up specifically because you designated it and it's not muktzah. That's the machlokes over here between Rabba and Rav Yosef as to how to understand this Mishnah. Gemara says, Amar Rabba, Rabba is going to defend himself. He doesn't even wait till he asks the question. He says, if you would ask me this question, this is how I'd answer it. And Rav Yosef is going to do the same thing. So I'm a rabbi. Rabbi says, Mosvinu Nashmaisen, you might ask me from our Mishnah against my Shita. And our Mishnah had given the case of her Evan Sheba Keruya. If you have the stone inside this gourd. So we said in our Mishnah, you're only allowed to use it in Mamalimba Ve'enu Nofeles Mamalimba. If the stone is somehow attached, inside or outside, we said, to this gourd. So then it's part of the gourd, and therefore you're allowed to go and fill up with this gourd water and use it as a bucket to bring up water from the well. So we see in this situation that you bedafka put it over there, and it became part of the kli. In that situation, it's not muktzah. So isn't that exactly what Rav Yosef had said, kasha on Rabba? That's what Rabba says. You want to ask a kasha me? He says, Velohi, you're making a mistake. Don't understand it that way. Hasam, in the case of our Mishnah, kiven dahatka, since you attached it to it, you tightened it into this gourd in some way, shavya dofin, it becomes part of the gourd. That's different than our case with the stone. In our case with the stone, it's not attached to it, it's just on top of it. And therefore, it's as I said, it's considered muktzah if you placed it there on purpose. So Rabbi says, I'm okay. Likewise, Rav Yosef jumps and he says, I'm Rav Yosef, umosvinu nashmaisen. If you're going to question me from the Mishnah, where it said, imlav, in the case of the gourd, if you didn't attach it tightly, ain't a malimbo, so you see you're not allowed to use it, so how come I say over here, if you put it on it, even though it's not attached tightly, you're making it into a kli, that seems to go against our Mishnah. So he says, Lohi, you're making a mistake in understanding that. Rav Yosef says, no. Hasam, in the case of the gourd, kivin de lohatka, if you didn't put in the stone tightly into it over there, then the lo hatka, batule batla, it doesn't become part of the kli. And it's considered a stone. And therefore, it's muktzah. And the whole thing is muktzah because it's a basel dover aser. However, in our case, where he brings down from the Mishnah later on, where you just put the rock on top of the barrel, no, that's enough because in this situation, it's going to be able to function to keep the lid on the barrel. And therefore, that designates it not as a basis of davar asa, but a basis of davar amuta. You've designated this rock to seal the barrel, and that's allowed. What exactly are Rabba and Rav Yosef arguing about? Maiko miflugi. So, ma'ar savara ba'inun ma'isa. So, according to Rabba, you have to actually do a ma'isa. For example, with the rock in the gourd, you have to attach it to it. You have to do a ma'isa. In our case, you just put it on the top of the barrel, so that's not going to be enough. That's not considered a ma'isa. So Rabba holds, in the name of Rav Ami, that you must do a ma'isa. Umar Savar Rav Yosef holds, in the name of Rav Asi, that you don't have to do a ma'isa. Lo be'in a ma'isa. And just placing the rock is considered significant. That's what they're arguing about. And this machlokis between Rabba in the name of Rav Ami, and Rav Yosef in the name of Rav Asi is a machlokus that we've seen elsewhere. Because the Chiyosu Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, Amar Rav Chanina, he said in the name of Rabbi Chanina, the Ami le others say Amar Rav Zeira, Amar Rav Chanina. It was Rav Zeira who said in the name of Rav Chanina. Pam achas holach Rabbi lemokum echot. One time, Rabbi the great Rav Yudah Nasi went to a certain place on Shabbos. Umotzo nidbach shalavonim, and he found a bunch of stones, a pile of stones that were going to be used for building. This was a construction site. V'yomel tamidav, and before Shabbos, he said to the tamidim, "Tzu, go outside the chashvu, and in your minds designate these stones for tomorrow's shia that we can sit on them. Kadesh neishiv aleim lemocher, that we should make these stones not muktzah, so otherwise there would be building stones and they would be muktzah. And this way, if we want to, we can sit on them tomorrow." Now, it said, go the chashvu, just go and have in mind. It didn't require a maisa. But lo tzrichon Rebbe lemaisa. Rebbe did not require an actual maisa to be done on the stones. But lo tzrichon Rebbe lemaisa. That was the first opinion over here that was brought down either in the name of Rav Dimi or Rav Zeira in the name of Rabbi Chanina. The Rabbi Yochanan disagreed. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, what did Rebbe say? Hitzrichon Rebbe lemaisa. Rebbe required them to do some sort of a maisa to take the stones out of their muktzah status of being building stones and to turn them into chairs that they could sit on. So my amalu, what, according to Rabbi Yochanan, did Rebbe tell his talmidim to do? So here's the machlokas, Rav Ami and Rav Asi. Rav Ami said, Tzu v'lamdum amalu. Rashi explains, Tzu v'lamdum is sidruosom, arrange them, v'shivum, and set them up, k'desh lo nitztarech liga behem l'mocher, so we shouldn't have to touch them tomorrow. L'fish ein hazmona b'maisa, called who? Because this is not an adequate maisa over here to make them ois muktzah. So therefore, set them up now. And this way, Rav Ami l'taymeh, dom el, in evinasis, kli b'hanocha. Just by putting it down, that's not enough of a maisa. So he says, go to arrange them now, because you're not doing a real maisa on them. That's the opinion of Rav Ami. Tzu v'lamdum om aluhu, so you won't have to move them tomorrow because they still would be muktzah. And that goes in accord with Rabbah saying in the name of Rav Ami in the Mishnah that we discussed that says that just by putting the rock on top of the chavis, that doesn't turn it into a kli. That's the opinion of Rabbah in the name of Rav Ami. We see it over here as Rav Ami, Ozel Tamayu. Rav Asi disagreed. Rav Asi Amar said, no, just do a minimal ma'isa to the shafshifum omaluhu. Rebbe told the Tamidim, go out and do shifshuf on them, clean them, min hatit, wipe off the mud, the clay that's on them, shunos leishev, that it'll be nice and comfortable to sit on them, they won't be muddy. Ulamachar, and then tomorrow, you can take them from where they are, utalamdum, and move them, because the maisa called dunasa clay, because you've already made them into a clay by doing this small maisa of just doing the shifshuf, just cleaning them. And therefore, you don't have to do lalimdum today, like Rav Ami said, because they're going to be muktzah because you didn't do a real maisa. He says, as long as you clean them, that's enough of a maisa to make it into a kli. That's the machlokas between Rav Ami and Rav Asi. So this is the source of that machlokas, why Rabba and Rav Yosef each said their respective opinion about Rabba Omer Rav Ami and Rav Yosef Omer Rav Asi, both in the name of Rav Yochanan. So we have a machlokas. What Rav Yochanan said happened in that story, and each of them, his two star pupils, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, they held different opinion of what Rabbi Yochanan actually said that Rebbe told his Talmidim to do. No Maisa, because a little Maisa is not enough, or they did a little Maisa, which is enough to make it into a Kli. Now, these are the first opinions that we had. The first one that we brought down, not in the name of Yochanan, the first opinion that we said that he told them, Tzu v'chashvu k'dei sh'nei sh'valeim, just the machshav is enough. And the second two opinions, Rav Ami and Rav Asi, as to what Rav Yochanan said. Now we have a third and a fourth and a fifth opinion. Itmar, Rav Yossi ben Shaul, Omar, Savar shol korus hava. It was a bunch of beams. It wasn't rocks. Hava, that's what it was, Rashi says, v'lo avonim, and not rocks, it was beams. Rashi says, Savor is Seder Shol Koros Chadoshos. These are new beams, Shemesajinos on the binyan, that were used in the building, Kadesh Shlo Yisakmu. And they were placed in a certain way. He wanted to arrange them in a certain way that they shouldn't get warped. So this was what Rebbe was telling the Talmidim. It was a Savor Shol Koros Hava. And that's what Rebbe told his Talmidim to do with his Savor Shel Koros. The final, fifth opinion is Rabbi Yochanan ben Shaul, Omar, he said, it was Goshosh Shel Svina Hava. It was a pole that was used, Rashi says, Eitz Aruch, a long piece of wood, a long pole, Shemagashimo Mayim, they would go and see how deep the water was when the boats went within a Svina, so that the boat wouldn't ground on the bottom. They say, oh yeah, the boat can go a little bit further. Yeah, the boat can go a little bit further. Lay that Shuba Omko, that it's in deep enough water, Shetuchal Svina Lahalikben, that the boat could go over there. So they would have the guy in the front of the boat, in front of this canoe or whatever type of a boat it was, he would place this long pole in the water. If it went down deep enough, so no, the boat would have enough clearance to get through this channel or this body of water. So that's what it was. So Gemara says, these last two opinions that we have, Rav Yossi ben Shaul said it's the Savor, the beams, the Koros, and Rav Yochanan ben Shaul, who said that it was this pole to sound out how deep the water was. So Man Yomar Gosho is the one who said it was these poles, so certainly, Kol Shekein Savor, certainly if you can use the poles and make them into a clay, certainly the beams would certainly be a minimal amount of hachana would allow it to be a clay. Why should that be the case? If you say it's the goshosh, so certainly it's the beams. So that's because Rashi explains that the pole over here, this goshosh, is an expensive type of a tool. It's muktzah machmas chisor and kis. You need this tool on the boat. You're not going to use it for something else because you're afraid that it's going to break and then you're going to be stuck. The boat's not going to be able to you're not going to know if you're in deep enough water. Therefore, since this is muktzo machmas chisorun kis, so then if you're going to allow a minimal act of preparation, such as either the machshava or just going and doing something to them, a minimal act of preparation, if you're going to allow that to be motzi the gishash from being muktzo machmas chisorun kis, so certainly kol shekein savor. So that's less of a muktzo machmas chisorun kis, these boards. However, Uman Dama Sabar, but the opinion of Rav Yossi ben Shul said that it was talking about a bunch of boards over here, these koros, so then maybe Avo Goshosh, Kopit Ale, the Goshosh, he wouldn't allow you to go and just do a minimal act in order to take it out of the status of being Muktza. That would require a larger act because that's a more expensive type of an item. This Goshosh, if it gets bent or ruined in any way, it's going to give you a false reading as to how deep the water is. That would be a disaster. So therefore, he's more makbid on that. The Mishnah then continues and told us, Zemora, Shikashur, V'chule. We said if you had the grapevine that was attached to this jug of some sort, this tafiach, so then you would be allowed to go and draw the water with it on Shabbos. You made it into a clay. So where it says, Kshura in, only if it's tied, if you tied the vine to this jug, to this tafiach, then it's good. Lo, Kshura, lo. But if you didn't tie it, then it wouldn't be considered part of the clay and it would be muktzah. So Gemara says, "Lema masnis in the loke Rishim Galil." Let us say that our Mishnah isn't in accord with the opinion of Rishim Galil. What did Rishim Galil say? The Tanya, we learn the Brisa, "Charoyo shodeko shegedoron leitzim." If one had pieces of a palm tree that became hard, and therefore you wanted to use it for firewood, but then you changed your mind, "Venimla chaleim liyeshiva." You said, "You know what, Tak? I could use this as a chair." So you had pieces previously that were firewood, and now you want to make them into a chair. So in order for you to make them into a chair and not be muktzah, because firewood is muktzah on Shabbos, tzorich likshor, you have to actually bundle them, you have to tie them up together in order to make them no longer muktzah. Otherwise, they retain their status as firewood. That's the Tanakhama's opinion in the Brisa. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel disagrees. Rabbi Shimon Gamaliel Omer, ain tzorich likshor, says, no, it's enough to have a machshava. So all you have to do is say, yeah, I'm thinking I'm going to sit on them, and that's enough. So Kshura means you did a maisa to it. You can't just say, yeah, I'm going to designate this vine and I'm going to use it to help me pull up the tafiach, the jug, on Shabbos. So Rabban Gamliel, or Shimon Gamliel, seems to not be the author of our Mishnah because he says it would be enough with the machshava, and our Mishnah seems to say you have to do a maisa of kshira. So Amar Rishesh says not necessarily so. Afilu Tamar Rishim Gamliel. You could even say that the author of our Mishnah goes in accord with the opinion of Rishim Gamliel. Why? Hachem Ayaskina. You know what we're talking about in our Mishnah? B'mechuberes b'yaviyah. Because our Mishnah could be talking about was attached to the ground. So if it's still attached to the ground, so then it's certainly not going to be considered a kli unless you actually do a maisa to it and tie it to the jug. Or it says, whoa, that's not true. Ihachi. Amishtamish b'mechu l'karka. So then, inala use a tree or anything attached to the ground on Shabbos. The concern is you may come to uproot it. So then you certainly wouldn't be allowed to use it if it was attached to the ground. So the Gemara says, no. Lamato mishlosha. If it's within three tefachim of the ground, it's considered the ground. And the ground you're allowed to use. You're allowed to walk on the ground on Shabbos. So therefore, if it's attached to the ground, it's considered part of the ground. It's within three tefachim of the ground. The principle of lava tells me that that's considered the ground then. So therefore, it is allowed to use this vine, but only if you designated it, not just with machshava, but you have to designate it by tying it. this concept of within 3 tefachim from the ground is very important in regards nebuch to a shiva house. So technically the Ovel is supposed to sit on the floor, but we let them sit on those low chairs because those low chairs are within 3 tefachim from the ground, and that's considered on the ground. That's teretz number one. Rav Ashi gives another teretz. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu tamei mitlusha. No, we could even be saying that the vine was detached from the ground, and yet, unless you tie it, it's not considered designated, even according to the opinion of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, who says that even a machshava is enough. You don't have to have a real maisa. So how does he explain that? He says, gezeiro shema yikdom. That the reason why you had to tie it was because you don't want this vine to be too long. So you want to have it at the right size. And we're concerned that if you didn't tie it beforehand, when you're tying it on Shabbos, you may come to cut it to the right size, and that would be a problem of masakin mana. You're creating a utensil over here, and therefore that's a different issue that they're worried about. So even though machshava would be enough, here you have to go tie it to get around this other potential issue. So this only applies when you're tying the vine, because that you could cut to the right size, that's the concern. But with the Chori Yosu Dekel, it doesn't apply, as Rashi says, and there's no din of Makim Apatish you can create it. Abu Bukhorios, the yeshiva, to change them from being firewood to sitting on them, like a lemigzar hochi, you don't have to make any such gezera, because you're not measuring them, hilkoch b'machshava sagi. Therefore, the opinion of Rosh Hashim Gamliel is that it's enough to just have a machshava, you don't need to actually have a maisa. Finally, we get to the last part in Mishnah. We bring down Pekaka Chalon, this machlokas that we have between Rav Eliezer and the Chacham as to whether it has to be both hanging as well as tied. So, Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rabba Barachana said in Rav Yochanan, Hakol Modim, everybody agrees, Shein Osin Oel Aroy B'tchil B'yontiv, that you're not allowed to go and make even a temporary structure, Aroy, a Ohel Aroy, not a permanent structure, but even a temporary structure, you're not allowed to make on Yontif. And certainly, if you can't do it on Yontif, you certainly can't do it on Shabbos. Shabbos is, of course, stricter than Yontif. Yontif, it's, quote, just a lav. On Yontif, you're over a lav. And on Shabbos, if you were to do this, you'd be chayiv skila. That's a real heavy-duty iser. So they're not arguing about making the ol aroy. Lo nechluku el lahosif. Only talking about when you already have some sort of an ol there and to add on to it. So you have the house there, so they're arguing about, can you add this pekak, can you add this shutter to the already existing window? Shriv Elezer, Omer, Elezer holds, ain mosivim yontif, you're not allowed to go and add on yontif. However, if you can't add on yontif, ain sochlam on Shabbos, you certainly don't have to tell me that you can't add it on Shabbos. The Chacham Omrim and the Chacham say, no, Mosivim b'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and add on to something on Shabbos. And if you can add on Shabbos, certainly, Ein Tzorech Lomar b'Yontif, you certainly can go and add it on Yontif. This is a good stopping point. We'll conclude today's shir over here.